Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, October 19th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, "It's Showtime." Final preparations and installations are being made Monday as companies get ready for the 2021 Permian Basin International Oil Show at the Ector County Coliseum. Fast Facts. After being delayed a year because of the COVID-19 pandemic, the Permian Basin International Oil Show opens its gates at 10 a.m. today at the Ector County Coliseum in Odessa. Here are some fast facts about the oil show. Hours, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday and Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Thursday. Theme, celebrate our history, embrace our future. The show will open with the traditional recognition of the oil show honoree. This year's honoree is the late Woody Gregory, a longtime oil show volunteer and past president who passed away last November. Tommy Pipes serves as president of this year's show, a term that was extended by last year's postponement. There are 744 exhibitors occupying 1,129 spaces throughout the Coliseum complex, including outside. Those exhibitors include 14 companies from Canada, 2 from China, and 1 from India. Online. www.pboilshow.org. Oil Show Extras. The Chuckwagon Gang will again provide lunch all 3 days of the oil show. This year, organizers are launching the PBIOS podcast party featuring Jason Spless, host of The Crude Life, conducting formal interviews and booth interviews throughout the show. Organizers have also brought in Angie Jordan, an award-winning digital caricature artist. This article is entitled, "Mental Health Could Get Big Boost." Craddock. Senate Bill 8 includes $40 million for new regional campus, by Stuart Doreen. The Texas legislature finalized a Senate bill Monday that will include $40 million to expand access to mental health services in West Texas by funding construction of a new mental health-focused hospital campus. The bill is Senate Bill 8, and it makes supplemental appropriations of specific funds Texas received under the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021. The $40 million for West Texas Mental Health Services includes funding for the construction of a new mental health-focused hospital campus that, when completed, will be operated by a partnership between the Midland County Hospital District and Ector County Hospital District. This funding will benefit Texans by helping to meet a shortage of mental health care in the area. This funding has been a priority of State Representative Tom Craddock and area health care leaders. Our communities in West Texas have a dire need for quality mental health care, Craddock said in a news release. The mental health campus is a great stride toward meeting the mental health needs of West Texas. I am honored to have worked on securing this funding and look forward to this facility being a resource for generations to come. The campus will not only include inpatient services, but also a crisis stabilization unit, therapeutic spaces appropriate for all ages, counseling offices, community education, and residency services. The campus is expected to be completed before 2024. The bill has gone through the conference committee of the Texas House and Senate. The ensuing conference committee report still must be adopted by both legislative bodies. This article is entitled, "Planning Commission Rezones Golf Course." Nueva Vista will now head to City Council for final approval. By Mella McEwen. Despite pleas from nearby residents and the recommendations of the city planning and zoning staff, Planning and Zoning Commission members narrowly approved a zone change that will see Nueva Vista Golf Course transformed into a housing development. By a 4-2 vote, commissioners approved the request by Midland Odessa Golf Corporation to change zoning from AE, Agricultural Estate, to PD, Planned Development District for Housing Development and Shopping Center. The approval was contingent on the developer following staff recommendations that include requiring the property to conform to the site plan attached to the request, that each lot adhere to front, side, and rear yard setbacks, and that landscaping and signs conform to city code. By a 3-2 vote, with one abstention, commissioners also approved the preliminary plat for the development, again, contingent on staff recommendations being followed. Those opposing the project cited concerns about drainage, with Jim Garrity, president of the Grassland Homeowners Association, noting that the area had experienced a 25-year flood event in July that threatened to flood 37 homes in Grasslands West. Several of those speaking in opposition called for an independent drainage study. Eric West, Sector Director of Site Development and Planning with Parkhill Smith & Cooper, pointed out that a drainage study is required in the permitting process and that the results will be reviewed by the City of Midland as well as the Federal Emergency Management Agency in order to receive new FEMA floodplain maps. It doesn't matter who performs the study, he said. West said concerns expressed by neighbors about the project were valid, and he tried to answer those concerns, beginning with plans for green space that includes three parks, a larger central park and two pocket parks, and a courtyard in the townhouse development. He noted that the current golf course currently provides storage for water runoff, and the additional drainage would be part of the construction. He said his company would also work to include any additional streets and city staff may deem necessary, whether for residents, neighboring residents, or emergency vehicles. The plan calls for 626 residential lots, 113 SF1 lots, 145 SF2 lots, 137 SF3 lots, 177 townhome lots, and 54 garden home lots, and a 2.34-acre amenity center. An office or retail area along Wadley Avenue is designed to serve as a buffer, as will a 76.34-acre green belt that stretches along the eastern, southern, and western border of the development. This is a 220-acre parcel used as a golf course, said West. I played a lot of rounds there. It's inevitable something would change. The golf course has been for sale for 7 years. The nonprofit For Midland is seeking to partner with foundations and individuals to raise enough money to buy Nueva Vista, preserve it, and expand it to include hiking and biking trails around the perimeter that could be enjoyed by all Midlanders, not just golfers. Commissioners offered words of encouragement to those disappointed by the vote. Chase Gardafi stressed that the commission only offered recommendations, that the city council will make the final decision on Nueva Vista's fate. This is not the end of anything, he said. Zachary Deck praised those who had come to the meeting and urged them to continue making their voices heard and speaking with their city council representatives, whether it was about Nueva Vista or other issues. Prior to addressing Nueva Vista, commissioners approved a request by Gary Bellamy for a zone change from PD, Planned Development District, to an amended PD for a mixed-use development on 57.55 acres on Interstate 20 between South La Mesa and Fairgrounds. The site will consist of a mix of uses, including office, retail, hotel, single-family, townhome, and multifamily residences, and a school. This article is entitled, County Deputies Still Searching for Suspect in Sunday's Triple Murder, by the Midland Reporter-Telegram. The Midland County Sheriff's Office reported Sunday that deputies are searching for a 23-year-old man that it stated is involved in the shooting death of three Midlanders. Three warrants have been issued for the suspect, Kevin Martinez, for capital murder, according to a sheriff's office report. The report also states that approximately 2 a.m. Sunday, deputies with the Midland County Sheriff's Office responded to a call for a disturbance in the 1200 block of East County Road 1224. Upon arrival, MCSO deputies located three victims with gunshot wounds. They were identified as 23-year-old James Davidson, 29-year-old Walter Ayala, and 35-year-old Gilberto Tapia Lopez. Next of kin has been notified. All three victims were pronounced deceased at the scene. Martinez fled the scene prior to the arrival of MCSO, according to the sheriff's office. The MCSO Crimes Against Persons Unit and crime scene investigators were notified and responded to the scene. Residents are urged to call the Midland County Sheriff's Office at 432-688-4600 or Midland Crime Stoppers at 432-694-TIPS if they have any information on the suspect's whereabouts. This is an ongoing criminal investigation, and no further details are available. This article is entitled, COVID Report Shows Drops in County Metrics, by Stuart Doreen. This week's COVID report shows that coronavirus inside Midland County is on a slow and steady decline in a couple of areas. The positivity rate at Midland Health testing centers and the number of weekly cases involving Midland County residents are down over longer periods of time. The positivity rate at Midland Health testing centers has dropped 8 of the last 9 weeks, from 32.6% in mid-August to 13.4% last week. If this week finishes in the single digits, it will be the first time since the week of July 10th that a positivity rate below 10% has been reported. The number of COVID-19 weekly cases was on pace last week for its 7th straight drop, according to the Midland Health Department. The peak of this most recent spike happened on October 22nd to 28th, 1,328 cases. That number fell to 342 cases on October 3rd to 9th. Last week, the health department showed 206 cases through Thursday. Other numbers from the weekly report included there were 38 COVID-19 inpatients in Midland Memorial Hospital on Monday, up 2 from 36 last Tuesday. Of those, 25 were active cases and 13 were convalescing. There were 8 on ventilators, including 5 convalescing patients. The most inpatients of any age group is in the 60 to 69 age range, 11. There are 9 in the 50 to 59 age range. Midland Health reported 172 of the 248 inpatient rooms were occupied. The vaccination clinics are still taking place between 2 and 4:30 p.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays at the F. Marie Hall Outpatient Center, formerly the West Campus. Those looking for their first or second doses or booster shots are welcome. Bowerman said 591 vaccines were provided last week and 657 were administered the week before. Walk-ins are welcome, and people can also contact 221-4-VAX or go to midlandhealth.org/schedule-my-vaccine. This article is entitled, Driver Booked After Car Crash Causes Fatality. Midland Reporter-Telegram. The driver involved in an early morning fatality faces intoxication manslaughter charges, according to the Midland Police Department. Around 2:29 a.m. Monday, Stefano Scarmana was driving a 2021 Jeep Gladiator East on the outside lane of Loop 250 Southside Service Road near the 5300 block of West Loop 250 North. When the vehicle moved to the right, drove over the south curb on the roadway, and continued to travel eastbound before striking a guardrail, according to police. After striking the guardrail, the vehicle rolled and came to a stop on its top side, the report stated. When officers arrived on scene, they found the passenger of the vehicle, identified as 57-year-old Angela Wrinkle of Marble Falls, was deceased. Scarmana was transported to Midland Memorial Hospital with minor injuries, according to police. After he was released from the hospital, he was transported to Midland County Jail, where he was booked on the charge of intoxication manslaughter, according to police. Next of kin has been notified. The investigation is ongoing. This is the obituary column. Tuesday, October 19th. Judy Metz Jackson. Judy died unexpectedly on August 25th, 2021, in her home on what she called the prettiest street in Midland. She was preceded in death by her beloved husband, Bill, who passed away in November, and her sister, Tilly Metz McDonald, her parents, Dr. and Mrs. Lewis Frederick Metz of Stamford, Texas. Judy was born on May 23rd, 1937, in Stamford. Judy is survived by her daughters, Jennifer Jackson Bellido and Stephanie Jackson Spillane, their husbands, Carlos Bellido and John Spillane, and her grandchildren, Elizabeth Bellido, Catherine Bellido, and Jack Spillane. A celebration of life will be held on Friday, October 22nd at 2 p.m. on the front lawn of 1601 North D Street, Midland. The service will be officiated by Father Jonathan Hartzer and Father John Stasny from Christ Church Anglican, with a short reception afterwards. At her request, Judy was cremated, and her ashes will join Bill's at the Metz family farm on Saturday, October 23rd at 2 p.m., followed by a short reception. Judy loved animals, so in lieu of flowers, please make any donations to the Lone Star Animal Sanctuary, 4200 North Fairgrounds Road, or any no-kill shelter of your choice. Philip Marshall King, Jr. Philip Marshall King, Jr. was born in El Paso to the union of Philip Maurice King and Myrtle King, as Phil was stationed in El Paso while serving in the U.S. Army. A small family graveside service will be held on Wednesday, October 13th at 10 a.m. at the Greenwood Cemetery with Dr. Jason T. Ashley officiating. Arrangements are under the direction of Ellis Funeral Home. The family requests that memorials be directed to Greenwood Cemetery Association in care of Greenwood Baptist Church, 10909 FM 307, Midland, 79706. Ruby Lee Eisenberg. Ruby Lee Eisenberg, 78, of Midland, passed away Friday, October 15th. Visitation will be held Tuesday, October 19th, from 5 to 7 p.m. at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Services will be Wednesday, October 20th at 2 p.m. at the Assembly of God Church, located at 100 West Wadley in Midland. Interment will be Friday, October 22nd at 10 a.m. at Condon Grove Cemetery, Milburn, Oklahoma, under the direction of Holmes Coffee Bury Funeral Home in Durant, Oklahoma. Ruby was born on September 29, 1943, in Luxura, Arkansas, to H.D. Doc and Juanita Ethel Bolin. Ruby is survived by her son, Jerry Waltrip, Debbie of Midland, daughter Cheryl Lovejoy, Russ of Vian, Oklahoma, and stepson Mark Eisenberg, Cheryl of Ada, Oklahoma. 11 grandchildren, numerous great-grandchildren, two brothers, Harvey Bolin and wife Cuck of Nacogdoches, Jerry Bolin and wife Dorothy of Sweeney, sister-in-law Gwen Bolin, and numerous nieces and nephews. She was preceded in death by her husband, Bill Eisenberg, her parents, stepdaughter Sheila Ellis of Gurdon, Arkansas, one sister, Sue Cheshire, and her husband, Don of Floydada, and two brothers, James Boleyn and wife Sarah of Littlefield, Harley Boleyn of Amherst, and infant twin brothers. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to Grace Baptist Church, 206 East Main, Durant, Oklahoma, or Assembly of God, 100 West Wadley Avenue, Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Death notices. Dennis Snediger. Dennis Snediger, 67, of Midland, passed away October 18th. No service is planned at this time. Survivors include wife Patricia. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Gabriel Romero. Gabriel Romero, 50, of Midland, passed away on Wednesday, October 13th. Viewing will be Thursday, October 21st, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., with a rosary to be recited at 7 p.m. Thursday evening at Heavenly Gate Chapel, 405 North Terrell Street. Funeral service is set for Friday, October 22nd at 10 a.m. at Heavenly Gate Chapel. Burial will follow at Rest Haven North. He is survived by his son, Gabriel Romero Jr., three daughters, Teresa Romero, Naomi Romero, and Maria Cruz. His parents, Juan Romero Sr. and Magdalena Zapata. Two brothers, George Romero and Juan Romero Jr., two sisters, Anna Ramirez and Dewan Romero, and seven grandchildren. Linda Deaver. Linda Deaver, 73, passed away October 16th. The family will receive guests from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thursday, October 21st at the branch at NPW. Survivors include husband Charles Deaver. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Reba Joan Stark. Reba Joan Stark, 87, of Midland, passed away on October 13th at Manor Park in Midland. Reba was born on January 13th, 1934, to Noah and Ruth Rosiala Brummett in Courtney, Texas. She married the late James Edward Stark on June 3rd, 1960, in Stanton. She is survived by two daughters, Karen Lynn Wood Gilbert and Kathy Marie Stark. A memorial service will be on Tuesday, October 19th at 11 a.m. in First Baptist Church, with Dr. Darren Wood officiating. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory. Richard Ricky Andrew Marquez. Richard Ricky Andrew Marquez, 51, went to be with our Lord and Savior on October 16th. Ricky was born in Big Spring on November 7th, 1969. He is survived by his parents, Andres and Lupe Marquez, one brother, two sisters, and numerous nephews, nieces, and cousins. Visitation will be held at Stanton Memorial Funeral Home on Tuesday, October 19th at 1 p.m. till 9 p.m. Rosary will take place at 7 p.m. A funeral mass for family and friends will be held at St. Joseph's Catholic Church, 405 Covent Street in Stanton, at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, October 20th. Interment will follow at St. Joseph's Cemetery. Arrangements are entrusted to Stanton Memorial Funeral Home and Chapel.
Hi, I'm Kim, reading the Odessa American. Today is Tuesday, October 19th, 2021. ODC keeps chamber on for economic development. The Odessa Development Corporation reached consensus to stay with the Odessa Chamber of Commerce for economic development after two members raised questions about whether it should stand on its own. No action was taken during Monday's meeting held in the City Council chambers at Odessa City Hall. The question came up from ODC board member Jeff Russell after Wes Burnett, director of economic development for the chamber, resigned to work for Nacero, a $6 to $7 billion natural gas processing and production facility. Russell wanted to explore the pros and cons of having ODC conduct economic development on its own. Chamber President and CEO Renee Earls said Burnett is still available on an as-need basis. Earls said the chamber has been the contractor since 1997 when ODC started. It is paid $988,000 for economic development work, and the contract was just approved about 60 days ago. Earls said the chamber has three departments: ODC, which is funded through the ODC, tourism, which is funded through hotel motel tax, and operations, which is self-sustaining, paid through membership and events. All the money that goes to the Chamber Economic Development Department from ODC goes toward economic development. Earl said it is in a separate fund and not commingled with any other activity. All the money that is not spent is returned to the city, and it goes back into the ODC coffers. We are audited annually, which many of the contractors are not, Earl said. And I think, you know, with no disrespect, that there's a saying, if it's not broken, don't fix it. And I think that we have many people who feel like it's going well. We are accountable. We're not only accountable to you, but we have a board of directors of 30 people who oversee us as well. We have a staff. If you take Wes out of the component, that staff still has over 40 years' experience in economic development with Odessa. I will tell you that there's no one in this room more than me who will make sure that we have the right person in that position. The position is a chamber position, so ultimately, I make this hire, Earls added. But she asked that they have a search committee. She asked two ODC board members, Tim Edgeman and David Botan, to sit on it, as well as chamber board members. Earl said she didn't want that sole responsibility. I want other people's opinion. We did the very same thing when we hired Wes. We got a group together and we went and found Wes and had him come back to the chamber. He did not apply for the job. We went and found him, so we feel like we're certainly doing a good job for you. We work each and every day to promote Odessa. I think it works well, Earl said. Earls added that the chamber is a one-stop shop. ODC board member Chris Crow also wanted to look at the possibility of having ODC do its own economic development. Crow joined the meeting on Zoom. He said there are synergies between the chamber and economic development, and all these pieces work together. But it's our job as ODC to look out for what's best for ODC, and if that happens to be staying partnered with the chamber, fantastic. That's great. I think every so often we have to do our due diligence and look at other options, one of which would be, is this a time that Odessa Development Corporation needs to stand on its own two feet? Crow said. Earl said she would expect that the discussion could come up again in the summer when the contract is up for renewal. Oil show brings huge influx of visitors. Companies from all over the nation and world represented. The Permian Basin International Oil Show is in town with hotels and restaurants in Odessa and Midland feeling the pressure and excitement. It's been 3 years since the usually biennial technology extravaganza has been held at the Ector County Coliseum, having been postponed during the pandemic, and the hotels weren't filling up quite as fast Monday as they had in the past. However, there were still legions of energy industry professionals coming in from all over the world, and hoteliers and restaurateurs said that Tuesday was the day when the full impact would be felt. A total attendance of 30,000 is expected, with show hours being from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday and Wednesday, and 10 to 4 Thursday. The show is closed to the public. MCM Elegante Hotel front desk manager Amanda Gapel reported at midday Monday that 36 vacancies remained in the 191-room hotel at 5200 East University Boulevard, but it was sold out for Tuesday. "We have 12 left for Wednesday," Gapel said. "We're usually sold out a year in advance for the oil show. With COVID, we're having a slower start, but we're getting there. It is a good time when all the companies come in from the different areas and states. It's an exciting week." Heaven Ryan, a front desk clerk at the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel at 117 West Wall Street in Midland, expected over 100 arrivals for tonight, with 40 rooms still open at midday. And she said the 162-room hotel was booked solid for Tuesday and Wednesday. "We always look forward to having them," Ryan said. "They come in from all over, and it's nice to see people here from everywhere. This is the first oil show for the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center downtown, which co-owner Sandra Eoff said had 80% of its 215 rooms booked. "We expect to be full tomorrow," Eoff said, noting that the 305 East 5th Street Hotel was opened in late 2019. "My husband Toby and I came from the oil industry, so it is exciting to entertain all the companies that we have dealt with in the past years," she said. "They're coming in from all over the nation and other countries. We're glad to see people. Even if they're not staying at the hotel, they can come for happy hour and to eat dinner with friends. We are excited to be able to offer that." Barn Door co-owner Roy Gillian hadn't seen many oil show people at the restaurant that he could identify as such, but he expected them to show up in force Monday afternoon and night. "We were closed Sunday, but we noticed a little more traffic Saturday," Gillian said, noting that he and his wife, Tammy, have owned the 2140 Andrews Highway restaurant since 2000. "It will probably be up to 50 to 60% Tuesday and Wednesday, and we'll try to have a full staff. It's slow a lot of times in the afternoon because the Chuck Wagon Gang serves lunch and the guys are not able to get away until the evenings when they come over for cocktails and steaks. The Barn Door has always been known for this. A lot of business deals get done here. On Thursdays, the guys usually try to pack up and get out. Odessa has 4,616 hotel and motel rooms, so the participants stay in surrounding cities like Crane, Monahans, and Andrews, and often even further afield. Show executive director Tony Fry said September 20th that 735 vendors had already rented the available 1,129 indoor and outdoor spaces at the Coliseum at 4201 Andrews Highway. Fry said 14 companies from Canada and two each from China and India were coming with a host of American-based international corporations to show their latest products. Admission is restricted to energy industry personnel who have registered and been given ID tags. The Chuck Wagon Gang will serve lunch on Tuesday for $24 per person, Wednesday for $21, and Thursday for $16, with the prices varying according to the menus. COVID numbers continue to decline. Tippin apologizes to mother of draped patient. Medical Center Hospital Director of Public Relations Trevor Tankersley said during Monday's Zoom press conference that Friday's 33 patients in-house have been the lowest since the second surge of the Delta variant. Odessa Regional Medical Center detailed seeing the same trend. As of Monday, MCH had 35 patients in-house, while ORMC had 14 and Scenic Mountain Medical Center had 7. MCH had 19 in critical care, with 15 of them on ventilators. ORMC has 7 in ICU with 3 on ventilators, and Scenic Mountain has 1 in ICU and 1 on a ventilator. Despite numbers continuing to decline, MCH Chief Nursing Officer Kristen Abbott-Timmons said people should remain mindful to prevent another winter surge. As we go into the holidays and the winter months, that wearing your mask, social distancing, being aware of those people that you are around, washing your hands, wiping your grocery cart down with sanitizing wipes. Abbott-Timmons said all of these practices that have kept the flu at bay when COVID first came through are very important. ORMC Chief Nursing Officer Carol Cates added, "The things that prevent COVID transmission also prevent flu transmission, prevent RSV transmission, prevent even colds. Wash your hands, wear a mask, stay away from people when you are sick, and stay home when you are sick. Those things are all wonderful at preventing any viral air illness." At the beginning of the Zoom press conference, MCH CEO and President Russell Tippin addressed the viral photo of a COVID patient being transported within the hospital, showing a plastic drape over the patient's head and upper torso. Tippin said he spoke with the mother of the patient last week over the phone. Tippin said they had a pleasant conversation, and the woman walked Tippin through the whole situation and details that MCH was wondering about. "During my conversation, I did apologize to her and her daughter for the whole experience," Tippin said. "We at Medical Center realized that we had a situation that we failed to do our best, that we failed to give them the best experience possible. We do apologize for that." In response to the drape incident, MCH's Exposure Committee and Transportation Committee has spoken about how to transport patients with COVID around the hospital. Abbott-Timmons said, "If a patient's oxygen demand is less than 6 liters, they are going to be transported in a flat mask over their nose and mouth, and they will be sitting in a wheelchair. If a patient's oxygen demand is more than 6 liters, they are going to be transported via bed that will have a dome-type drape where the patient won't have to wear a mask underneath, and they will be seen and monitored at all times. We really feel like this adjustment is going to serve a safe environment as well as a safe perception by our patients and their families," Abbott-Timmons said. Tippin said Ector County Hospital District continues to be on high alert after death threats were made in connection with the drape incident. "There were threats made to just about everything, including myself and the board of directors," Tippin said. "We have alerted the proper authorities, and we are doing everything we can to guard our staff." COVID-19 news by the numbers. COVID in the basin. Ector County, 25,438 total cases, 519 deaths. Midland County, 27,763 total cases, 359 deaths. Texas, 4,178,160 total cases, 68,935 deaths. U.S. cases, 44,857,861 total confirmed and 723,205 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. Quick Hits Training. Discover Odessa has scheduled certified Odessan training from 1 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. Wednesday and from 8:30 a.m. to noon Thursday at the Pecos Depot, 2140 Andrews Highway. Topics will include learn how to be Texas friendly with a Texas Pecos Trail representative. Learn about all the attractions Odessa has to offer its locals and visitors. Hear from the host attraction about their mission and services offered, and tour the host attraction. The event is free. RSVP is required. Space is limited. To RSVP, call 432 833-7871 or email erica@discoverodessa.org. Auditions. Auditions for It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio show, has been scheduled for 6:30 p.m. Wednesday and Thursday at the Permian Playhouse, 310 West 42nd Street. Auditions will consist of cold reads from the script. Memorizing the script is not necessary, as the actors will hold their scripts in their hands during performances, just as actors would for radio broadcasts of the time. Performances are scheduled for 7:30 p.m. December 3rd, 4th, 10th, and 11th, and 2:30 p.m. December 5th and 12th. Visit tinyurl.com/3f6vk2zr or basintheaterworks.org. City Council set to discuss variety of items during work session. Topics include vaccine clinic, property transfer, traffic signal purchases. During Tuesday's work session, the Odessa City Council is expected to hear about a report on the vaccine clinic, discuss the transfer of property located on Rochester Avenue, and consider purchasing traffic signal equipment. The work session is scheduled to take place 3 p.m. on the fifth floor of City Hall in the City Council Chambers located at 411 West 8th Street. The discussion of the transfer of property on Rochester Avenue would be a housing development as part of the Odessa Housing Finance Corporation. Executive Director Jill Miller is expected to give a presentation to the City Council. The housing would be for low to moderate income families. According to the proposed site layout, there are 53 lots with a park area that would span the size of two housing lots. The council will also hear about estimated cost breakdown for water and sewer and paving and drainage. There will also be construction cost breakdown for typical models on Rochester Avenue. City Council will reportedly hear from Odessa Fire Rescue Assistant Chief Rod Huber about the city's vaccine clinic. Odessa Traffic Operations Superintendent Hal Feldman will present to the City Council about considering purchasing traffic signal equipment, which includes replacement of cabinets at 13 intersections throughout the city. There would also be 7 additional cabinets purchased as spares. The total cost of the signal equipment is $263,800. Assistant City Manager of Administrative Services Cindy Muncy is scheduled to talk to Council about the renewing the contract with Weaver and Tidwell LLP as professional auditing services. The cost to renew the contract is $118,000. High Impact Tutoring on Board Agenda. Contracts for outcome-based high impact tutoring are on the agenda for consideration when the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees meets at 6 p.m. today in the first floor boardroom of the Administration Building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. Recommended suppliers are Air Tutors, LLC, Focus Care, Inc., DBA, FEV Tutor, Inc., Hey Tutor, Inc., and Zovia, Inc., DBA Tutor Me, LLC. The total cost is $5,674,094, supplemental agenda material said. The purpose of high-impact tutoring is to provide students the opportunity to close the COVID-19 learning gap through individual or small group tutoring, the material said. We are engaged in outcomes-based contracting with each company to compensate for each successful student or penalize for students who regress during the tutoring sessions, the material said. This accelerated learning initiative supports districts with the House Bill 4545 requirement, which states all students who were not successful on STAR be provided accelerated learning as required by the law, the material said. The Texas Education Agency announced the launch of the Vetted Texas Tutor Corps, an initiative aimed at accelerating student learning through high-impact tutoring, with a goal of reaching over 1 million students. ECISD met with six of the TEA-vetted tutor companies and provided principals with an option to select the best possible provider that will meet the needs of each individual campus. Virtual learning services is another purchase item. Senate Bill 15 relates to virtual and off-campus electronic instruction at a public school. SB 15 allows school districts with a district rating of C or higher to operate a local remote learning program to offer virtual courses outside the state virtual school network under Chapter 30A to eligible students. Supplemental agenda material said ECISD will partner with StrongMind. StrongMind provides a virtual learning solution which engages students with rigorous, text-aligned digital courses for grades K through 12, provides a robust learning management system, LMS, to deliver lessons and track learning, provides Texas-certified subject area teachers who will communicate with families, teach synchronous lessons, hold virtual office hours, and schedule individual coaching sessions based on learner needs. Provides high-quality student support services including special education, bilingual dual language, kindergarten through fifth, English as a second language, sixth through eighth grade, gifted and talented, intellectual focus, fine arts, physical education, and career and technical education, the material said. The cost is $3,850 per student for a full year of instruction, estimating 100 students for a total cost of $385,000. The funding source will be Federal Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief Funds, or ESSER III. The recommended supplier service provider is StrongMind, Inc. in Chandler, Arizona. The district also is seeking board approval for a three-year research practice partnership with Texas Tech University to develop research questions, program evaluation design, data collections, and a final program evaluation report to the Opportunity Culture Program. The estimated cost is a total of $270,000 over a three-year contract. Opportunity Culture is designed to serve economically disadvantaged students by providing marginalized student populations with quality teachers, the supplemental material said. A public hearing of the district's first rating for 2019-2020 data, along with a management record that includes all of the required information as established by the Commissioner of Education, is attached, also is on the agenda. The public is invited to comment on the report. FIRST stands for Financial Integrity Rating System of Texas. Hector County policyholders receive $6.7 million in dividends from Texas Mutual. Austin, Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a policyholder-owned company and the state's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance, has distributed $330 million in dividends to over 57,000 policyholders across the state. Of those businesses, 636 of them are in Ector County, and they received a total of $6.7 million in dividends, which can be used to reinvest back into their businesses and local communities. We're proud to be a stable source of workers' compensation coverage for the state and proud to have stood resilient during a tough year. Because of that, we were able to reward our policy holders who put safety first. As Ron Simmons, Texas Mutual Board Chairman, this year's $330 million dividend distribution represents our commitment to helping our policy holders keep hardworking Texans safe on the job. The dividend program allows Texas Mutual to share its success with loyal policyholders who display a commitment to preventing workplace accidents and helping injured workers get back on the job. About 79% of Texas Mutual's customers received dividends this year, which are based on each company's loss ratio and history with Texas Mutual. Texas Mutual standing by local businesses and giving support through difficult times makes such a difference in our local community, says Gary Felker, president of Milam Felker Insurance. Ector County businesses have always been committed to workplace safety and are so thankful for this recognition by Texas Mutual. The pandemic has had a significant impact on businesses across the state, so we're honored our policyholders trusted us to continue protecting their businesses and employees, said Rich Jergasco, president and CEO of Texas Mutual. With our dividend program, we're able to give back to our policyholders who are putting safety first and leading safe workplaces. Texas Mutual awarded its first dividend in 1999, making this the 23rd year of the program, and bringing the total delivered back to Texas businesses to $3.4 billion. While dividends have been annually awarded, they're based on performance and are not guaranteed. Additionally, dividends must comply with Texas Department of Insurance regulations. Local News Roundup. Hocus Pocus. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788 Midland, has scheduled Cinema Under the Stars featuring Hocus Pocus at 7 p.m. Wednesday. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. For tickets or information, wagnernoel.com. Bicycle Helmet Giveaway. The Pilot Club of Odessa will be giving away a bicycle helmet at a booth at the City of Odessa Fall Fun event from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday at McKinney Park, 625 West Pool Road. Trunk or Treat. Mission Dorado Baptist Church, 4142 Faudre Road, has scheduled a trunk or treat for 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. October 30th. There will be three candy, bounce houses, games, popcorn. Visit tinyurl.com/CJ7ZRXF4. Concierto de Amor. The Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale has scheduled Concierto de Amor at 7:30 p.m. November 6th at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788 Midland. The event will feature Barbara Padilla from America's Got Talent. Tickets start at $11 and students $8. Call 800-514-3849 or visit tinyurl.com/V8N4WPVN. Commissioners to meet. The Ector County Commissioners Court will have a special meeting at 2 p.m. Thursday in the Commissioners Courtroom at the Ector County Administration Building Annex, 1010 East 8th Street. The item on the agenda is to consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding any and all issues related to a redistricting work session, to receive and review illustrative plans to rebalance the population of the commissioner precincts, and to discuss planning alternatives. Death Notices. Leon Lafette Fowler, Midland. Leon Lafette Fowler, 99 of Midland, died Monday, October 11th, 2021 in Midland. Graveside services will be held at 1 p.m. October 22nd in Sunset Memorial Gardens. Brantley Fowler is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Edith Geraldine Williams Presley, Odessa. Edith Geraldine Williams Presley, 89 of Odessa, died Saturday, October 16th in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. on Thursday, October 21st. At Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home Intermittent will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. The family will receive friends for visitation on Wednesday, October 20th, from 5 to 7 p.m. at the funeral home. Dr. Jimmy Braswell is officiating. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home, Odessa. Maria de la Ruz Rios, Odessa, Texas. Maria de la Ruz Rios, 76, of Odessa, Texas, died Wednesday, October 6th, in Odessa. Celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. Wednesday, October 20th, at Martinez Funeral Home outside chapel. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. The memory section, Reverend Mario Martinez is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa, Texas. Dennis Snediger, Midland. Dennis Snediger, 67, of Midland, died Monday, October 18th, in Midland. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Boston Marathon runner, others donate funds to six-year-old girl. Following up his finish of the Boston Marathon, Odessa Regional Medical Center Director of Education, Alan Espina, and a group of about 100 local runners on Friday presented a check to the Cortinas family to help defray expenses for Mia Cortinas' acute lymphoblastic leukemia treatments at Wadley Barron Park in Midland. Mia, 6, also received a stepped pink unicorn. She has had the ailment for a year. Myra and Manuel Cortinas are Mia's parents. They also have a son, Yondell. They have to go to Lubbock every single week for her treatment. She's responding well for treatment, Myra said. Mia had just come back from Lubbock on Thursday, where she is receiving treatment at Covenant Children's Hospital and the clinic next door, the Joe Arrington Cancer Research and Treatment Center. Having the backing of the local community is wonderful. I think it's a blessing because in the beginning we felt like we were going to be alone, Myra said. But they knew a lot of people and even strangers came together to offer help from donations to groceries. Parents in similar situations also offered support. It's easy to communicate with them as well because we're kind of in the same boat. So it makes it easy for us to express our feelings, Manuel said. The Cortinas, who live in Midland, have a photo and video company called Reunite. Myra is the photographer and Manuel is the videographer. We do weddings and we do photo sessions, like family photo sessions and stuff. So we did have our clients that we've worked for help us out as well. So it did shock us a lot. We weren't really expecting that much help from everyone, Myra said. Even some new clients that we just barely booked, and they found out what Mia had. They actually gave us more than what was agreed upon when we made the contracts to show support for Mia, Manuel said. Myra and Manuel described Espina running the Boston Marathon to raise money for Mia as awesome and a miracle. Myra said it was another blessing. Among several fundraisers, Espina organized a previous 5K run that raised money that went to Mia in part. It shows that he has a big heart, Manuel said, referring to Espina. Myra said they were not expecting it, and they didn't ask for anything, so they were really thankful for the help. Manuel said Mia has a good understanding of the support she's getting. A lot of times she'll just ask, "Am I getting gifts?" Manuel said. Myra said Mia gets a lot of gifts from a lot of people. So we try to make her understand why she's receiving them, but she does understand that she has cancer and that she has to get chemotherapy. We just say medicine. So that way she understands that she's getting it so that way she can get better, Myra said. Mia's treatment is for 2.5 years. She started in August 2020. She will be done, we don't know the exact date, but it's sometime early 2023, Myra said. Her parents said treatment is sometimes delayed because Mia's body has to meet certain conditions. At one point, the Cortinas, thought they would have to move to Lubbock because they were there more often than Midland, but they didn't wind up doing that. Myra said at the beginning with COVID, they couldn't be together in the same room with Mia, but the rules were finally lifted and they were able to be together. Myra said it was helpful to be there together. Myra said there were two phases of chemotherapy that Mia had to go through, and she couldn't leave Lubbock for a month because of her treatment and because they couldn't be more than 30 minutes from the hospital. As a result, her father didn't see Mia for almost a month. We would take turns as well. Sometimes we were able to leave and come back here to get some stuff, but we would have to have someone be with her over there, Myra said. Espina said the people at the presentation advocated for Mia and ran the marathon for her virtually in some cases. There are lots of people that helped make this come to fruition, Espina said. The Mayo Clinic website said acute lymphocytic leukemia, ALL, is a type of cancer of the blood and bone marrow, the spongy tissue inside bones where blood cells are made. Acute lymphocytic leukemia is also known as acute lymphoblastic leukemia. Acute lymphocytic leukemia is the most common type of cancer in children, and treatments result in a good chance for a cure. Acute lymphocytic leukemia can also occur in adults, though the chance of a cure is greatly reduced, the site said.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.